morning. Today is the third Sunday in Advent, and if you didn't know that, the third Sunday is focusing on joy. And if you haven't expressed your joy on the back board, there is this black background with red J-O-Y, and please inscribe on that why you are joyful. I've already signed it, so if anybody wants to know, yes, I've done it more than once. We'd also want to give thanks to Barry and Darlene Swinburnson. You are the recipients of new lights and clean lights. And you should enjoy the reflection on the ceiling that demonstrate how clean they are. Let's stand for the call to worship. From Psalm 96, let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming, to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth.
Thank you.
reading from Hebrews 10. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God." Previously saying, "Sacrifice and offering, burnt offering and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Please be seated. Reading from Romans chapter 1. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." Let us pray. Our gracious God and Father, as we meditate upon your word, we see ourselves. We know, Father, that apart from your mercy and your grace, we are desperate sinners. As your servant Paul said in his letter to Timothy, it is a worthy and acceptable statement that Jesus Christ came to die for sinners, and I am the chief. Father, help us to understand that the depth of our sin, so that we may also appreciate the depth of your great love for us. We thank you and praise you that the mirror of God's word drives us to the foot of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. From Romans 1, assurance of pardon. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith."
Thank you.
us pray. Our gracious God and Father, we do praise you and thank you that we are free to enter into your throne room through the shed blood of your Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you and praise you that you do bid us come to give our praise and thanks for all that you have done for us, that you have done great things through Jesus Christ, and that you have given us the indwelling Spirit whereby we call you Father. And not only are we in your presence, but that you bid us tell you what's on our mind. We know, Father, that sometimes the world is too much with us, and we are in danger of having the cares of this world take the joy of the gospel from us, that we are in danger of the troubles that come upon our physical body and upon our soul to rob us of the joy that we have because we are your people, the sheep of your pasture, and that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. We ask you, Father, that we would not only be joyful in our own soul, but that that joy would spill out, and that indeed we would bless others as you have blessed us, and that we would be those who would speak the truth, for the truth is good news. For the truth is the good news that you did love us and sent your Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We ask you, Father, that our focus might be on the author and finisher of our faith, that is Jesus Christ, and that we would pursue righteousness, that we would seek first the kingdom of God. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. At this time, we'll have the lighting of the wreath.
The light of the third candle of the Advent wreath represents joy. Mary expressed joy in her song. Zacharias expressed joy in the passage we will read this morning. The shepherds and wise men had exceeding great joy. The angelic message given to the shepherds was a message of great joy. Joy is to be a characteristic of each child of God. For we are to rejoice in the Lord always. We are to count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Let's stand to sing, As with Gladness of Men of Old.
Thank you.
You may be seated. We're reading from Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 67, and this is commonly known as the Benedictus, and it's what is said by Zacharias on the eighth day of John the Baptist's birth, and it's the day of his circumcision. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. I'm going to ask you to do something today that I do a lot, and that is I want you to, in your mind, place you in the crowd. I want you to think of yourself as being there. And what do you expect? Maybe you were there 9-10 months ago when Zacharias was offering prayers in the temple, and he went in and he came out mute. And he hadn't spoken now for at least 9 months. What do you expect? You know that this child is going to be named, and you have this great expectation that, of course, he's going to be named after his dad or somebody in the family. And this is what you expect. But mom says, no, his name is John. And they have a tough time with that, so they ask Zacharias, and he writes, his name is John. And everybody's surprised, and they marvel. One of the things you might wonder is, what is Zacharias going to say after 9 months? He hasn't been able to say a word for 9 months. What's he going to say? What does he say? He blesses God. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel. Now Matthew tells us that he's filled with the Holy Spirit. As you read the Old Testament, you'll see that the Holy Spirit comes and goes. As a matter of fact, one of my most interesting characters in the Old Testament is Samson. The Spirit of God came upon him when he did certain things. And the Spirit of God came upon David. The Spirit of God came upon Saul, and then he left. The Spirit of God comes and goes in the Old Testament. And Zacharias here is filled with the Holy Spirit. So not only is he now speaking after 9 months or more, he is now a prophet. He is prophesying. There hasn't been a prophet in Israel for over 400 years. And Zacharias is now speaking as a prophet. Now, if you're in this crowd and you have certain expectations, you might wonder, what's going on? Who is this child? Why would his father be one who prophesies? Now, his father was of the tribe of Levi, which means he's a priest, which means the child is a priest. Who is this child? Well, Zacharias was told in Luke chapter 1, when he was in the temple, that he was going to be a Nazarite. He will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. But only Zacharias had been told that. Nobody else had. The Lord went on with Zacharias and said, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. In other words, this child was told by the angel told Zacharias that this child would be the fulfillment of a prophecy in Malachi. But again, it was only told to Zacharias. You didn't hear it. If you were in that crowd in front of the temple, you didn't hear this. So for 9 months, you sit there and you wonder. And now Zacharias speaks. And he speaks as a prophet. A prophet in Israel after over 400 years. This is stupendous. This is amazing. Here, all these years have gone by. The prophecies of Daniel have been fulfilled. The Greeks, the Medes, the Babylonians, and now the Roman Empire. It's all there in Daniel. And there are various understandings and expectations. And what does Zechariah say? That this God of Israel has visited his and redeemed his people. Now, throughout the Old Testament, God visits his people. As far as the Hebrews were concerned, the last visitation was very painful. That's when they got hauled into exile. And the temple was destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed. And in the intervening time, it had been a time where the Hebrew nation was nothing. The Maccabees tried to make something of them, but they failed. And yet God now has intruded into history. According to Zacharias, God has intruded into history and he's visited and redeemed his people. And how has he done this? He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Ah, but this child was not from the house of David. This child was a Levite. The house of David is from Judah. Zacharias is speaking of some other child. He's speaking of someone else. There's someone else that's coming. That's from the house of David. And Zacharias, acknowledging this, continues, and he says, it's spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets. In the book of Ephesians, you'll see that Paul says that the foundation of the church, the house of the church, are the prophets and the apostles, the cornerstone being Jesus Christ. Zacharias doesn't know much about the apostles, matter of fact, nothing, but he knows the prophets. And he understands that it's by the mouth of the holy prophets, and these prophets have been since the world began. That's back in Eden. We find in Genesis that when Seth is born, that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And the first gospel was given to Eve, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that the serpent is going to crush Eve's seed's heel, but Eve's seed is going to crush the serpent's head. And that is the first proclamation of good news. And that good news carries throughout the rest of the Old Testament, that there is going to become salvation to his people. And Zechariah understands this. And this word that's come from the holy prophets is that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Who is the great hater of the church and God's people? The serpent. The serpent. And all of those Old Testament nations who hated God's people, Son of righteousness who rises with healing in his wings. You see, the birth of John the Baptist is the dawn of the coming of the kingdom of God. It's the dawn. The Old Testament has been fulfilled. Christ is coming. And here this great voice in the wilderness is crying. And why? To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. In the New Testament, we find that Jesus, when he lived in Galilee, lived in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. And they're rebuked because this great light was among them and they failed to see it. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And this light gives light to those who sit in darkness. And this light gives light to those who live in the shadow of death, to guide us into the way of peace. John the Baptist is but a voice. But a voice. That's all he is. He's the least of all of us. We are members of the kingdom of God. John the Baptist is only great of those born of women. And you and I are greater than he. Because we are members and we know the full truth. We know that Jesus Christ fulfilled all of the Old Testament law and that he fulfilled the promises of God in the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and he institutes the new covenant in his blood. Zechariah, as a prophet, sees some of this. And as you and I read this, we need to understand what a high privilege we have. Because we see better than Zechariah does. Zechariah understood it from an Old Testament perspective. And you and I, we can look back and we see it more clearly. And we can see that the Abrahamic covenant being fulfilled in Christ, we can see it more clearly. As Paul says, that all who are believers are children of Abraham. That would be you and me. And so when we look in that mirror and we see that enemy of my soul who's been transformed to being a prophet and a priest and a king, we need to open our minds and hearts in praise and thanks and great joy. Because this one who came, born of a woman, born under the law, being foretold by the Old Testament prophets and announced by this voice in the wilderness, has redeemed us from destruction. And Zacharias understands that ultimately our feet are guided into the way of peace. You do know that the scriptures tell us that there's no peace for the wicked, none. And the wicked are like the angry sea, casting up muck and garbage upon the shore. It's only the child of God who is able to have peace. Peace. And it's only because God is faithful to us and to his word, whereby we are transformed from enemies to adopted sons and daughters. And Zacharias is addressing the crowd as well as regarding this child, foretelling all that will be accomplished by the one whom this child is to announce. You and I have a similar privilege. We don't announce that he's coming, we announce that he's been. We have this great privilege. You know, this Christmas story is good news of great joy. How many of you in the past year have had the grand privilege of announcing that Jesus Christ has come, and you've done it with great joy? That's our privilege. It's our duty, it's our high calling. We read this morning at Advent, count it all joy when you encounter trials. Why? Because trials mold us and shape us. And when they're molding and shape us, we understand the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah told the people that were grumbling and complaining about various things when they were rebuilding Jerusalem and the temple. Nehemiah said, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you feel weak? Where's your joy? Your joy is in this wonderful message that the enemies of your soul have been destroyed and that you have peace with God. And because you have peace with God, then you and I are able to enjoy the peace of God in all that we do and say. Let's give thanks. Our Father and God, we thank you and praise you that you are a faithful God. We thank you, Father, for the record. We thank you for the record of your faithfulness and patience and your kindness. We thank you that you never fail. We thank you that in your great love you did send forth your Son, and that he is the propitiation for our sins. We thank you and praise you that in your great love you did give us the indwelling Spirit whereby we call you Father. We thank you and praise you that you are pleased to use us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that which is able to transform men and women, to change them from those who are dead in trespasses and sins to those who are alive in Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you that you are pleased to give us this privilege and joy. We ask that we would go forth rejoicing and giving thanks because we are your children. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please stand and sing, O come, Emmanuel. Thank you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.